Hey, I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Micah is back to turn the Death Star into his own personal parsonage. It's Cowboys Packers Week. Our Cowboys countdown to kickoff starts this Sunday at 5. Late postgame after on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Adventure awaits you at Brandscape as you explore the fashion from Shields, food from Cortina Ristorante, and fun at Cosm all fall at Brandscape. Find all the fall excitement at Grandscape.com, and you can text Grandscape to 22126 for your chance to win a $100 Grandscape gift card.
Thank you, DJ. So we're lucky enough along the way to run into people that make us laugh. By the way, it's sponsored by
Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, and American Leak Detection.
That make us laugh or entertain us in some way, and that was certainly the case in about, 18 years ago or so when we all got wrapped up in The Shield. And, I mean, for my money, it's a top five show that I've ever seen. It just
absolutely
kills it on every level. And at the forefront of that entire operation was the great Michael Chiklis, who starred as Vic Mackey, the incredibly corrupt cop, about his team of men, his strike team, that were going around raising hell all over Los Angeles.
And it was so surreal because back then, your buddy John...
John Solberg.
John Solberg, the FX exec... is a P1. And so somehow on one of our Stars road trips or something, Dan and I were at the set of The Shield, like in their second season, and we got time with all of them to do like radio stuff, and it was really, really fun, and we couldn't believe all the access. And then I swear within a year or two, you're playing golf with them, and it was a great show, and yet they were very accessible. And so when we're on the set, we're in the kitchen of Vic Mackey's house.
Yeah.
And I'm putting the magnets, like there's random magnets like any kitchen would have, and I put 1310 right underneath, down at the refrigerator, right underneath the freezer, and it made an episode.
Yeah.
Like they're still 1310 was on the refrigerator. So it was, I'll never forget it. It was so much fun.
Well, when we did the interview yesterday, I immediately asked, and I talked to John Solberg, our buddy over at FX. I'm like, is he going to remember playing golf with me and then going over to Cowboys training camp that same day, and we had him on the air and all that? He was like, oh, yeah. And we played with the whole strike team. And when one of their phones rang, I can't remember whose phone it was. We were on the tee box in one of the holes, and it was the Shield, that wap-bop-bop-bop, their theme song or whatever. So somebody called, and that phone went off, and they all drop their clubs and start dancing like to the Shield song. And I'm like, what am I? What is happening here? This is so great. So it was an awesome day. And so that's how the interview with the great Michael Chiklis kicks off as he's promoting a brand new movie.
Michael Chiklis.
Hey.
Thanks for doing this. The Senior is out. It's getting great reviews, and fans seem to like it and all that good stuff. And I know it was filmed here in Fort Worth as well. So how much time did you spend here a couple of years ago filming that?
A couple of months, and man, I fell in love with that little city. I really enjoyed it. The people were so warm and welcoming, and man, you realize what a football culture it is. Wow. I'm from New England, and we just went through a great 20-year run with Tom Brady. But man, Texas is to football as Canada is to hockey. It's, it's cultural. It's your sport. You know what I mean? And you get that sense, like first day, we went to a stadium to shoot. And we go in the stadium, and it's like a 10,000 seat stadium. I'm like, wow, what college is this? And they were like, this is a junior high school. I'm like, what? I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, do they fill this like every Friday night, son? I'm like, what? I blew my mind. So you really get the sense it's just a cultural thing. It's familial. The whole family comes out. It's just, it means the world to folks there. And I just, it was such a warm, great experience. With the crew was amazing. The ribs were amazing, which I couldn't have many of because I was training so hard, but I did have some. That Stockyard, man, wow. Good
stuff. Yeah, so you were playing Mike Flint, a real-life guy who came back to college at the age of, what, 59?
59, which I was 59 when I made this movie. So when I was training and doing linebacker drills, understand, I was the captain of my football team in high school. So it wasn't completely unfamiliar to me. I played linebacker in high school, and, you know, so it was like getting on an old bike. But 40 years later, man, you know, like, who plays tackle football in their late 50s? It's insane.
Did you ever get banged up? Did you ever have to take days off on the set?
I didn't have to take any days off. I was very proud of the fact that nothing broke. I didn't hear that terrible snapping sound that I was so worried about. But I worked out really hard, and I was doing sprints and linebacker drills and hitting sled and everything. You know, I did all but like four or five shots in that movie. So it's all me except for a couple of blindside shots that I had to take. And thank God I didn't do those takes because I would have perished. My stunt guy did those, Jordan. He was terrific. He played for Alabama, so he's an animal too. But Mike Flint, it's an extraordinary story what he did. I mean, yes, football's the backdrop for this movie, but it has a giant heart and soul because it's a redemption tale. You know, this guy messed up his first year of his senior year in college. He got in a fight with one of the freshmen who was out of the dorm after hours. He told them to get in, and he said no, so they threw down. He ended up breaking the kid's nose. The next day, he gets thrown out of not only off the football team, but out of school. And he left with his tail between his legs, you know, just in shame. And 37 years later, it was his biggest regret, because they were supposed to go undefeated that season, Sol Ross was. At the time, they were a Division II big-time West Texas football team. I understand they're Division III now, but when Mike played and when he came back, they were still Division II. In any case, you know, it was always his biggest regret. And he received an invitation to the class reunion, and he was like, this has got to be a mistake. I didn't graduate. And his wife was like, no, Mike, they were looking for you. The boys want to see you. I want you to go and get this off your back. So he went down there to apologize. That was the express purpose of him going down to Texas, was to say I'm sorry. And, you know, when he saw the guys on his old team, it was like time had passed. They hugged him. They were like, Mike, you know. And they were like, man, we're 59. That was old history. We just wanted to see you, man, you know. And so they had forgiveness in their heart. They didn't care about any of that, which shocked Mike to begin with. And here he had tortured himself for all these years. But, you know, then they said to him, well, you look like you could still run with him. And just joking around, and he was like, well, I probably could. You know, he was a strength trainer for Texas A&M and others. He's an animal. And he said, well, I probably could run with him. And they were like, well, you're eligible. And he's like, what? So he was only suspended for like 18 months, and he didn't know. So when he heard that, he got it in his bull head that, hey, man, maybe if I try out for this team, I can, you know, make up for what I did. I can't change the past, but I can change the meaning of the past. And that's what he did. And it's an extraordinary story. It really is. And it sounds like I've spoiled it, but I haven't. You got to see the way it plays out and the way it happens, because it's filled with humor and drama, and it's going to make you laugh and cry and leave the theater smiling. You know, it's one of those kind of classic sports films that, you know, is very, very inspirational.
That's awesome. We can't wait to see it. So this is Michael Chiklis, of course, and given all of our ages, you meant so much to us with Vic Mackey and all that, and we still reference The Shield all the time because we're all nuts about it. And I would just say, when we heard this movie was being made and we heard your name associated with it, I'm not positive there are more times where it felt more perfect, because this role is you. I mean, it feels like something that you would be.
Well, I got to tell you, honestly, again, I've said this many times, but, you know, if you're really lucky in a career, there are certain roles that come up once in a while that are just spot on, you know, like, and this is one of them. This is one of those red letter day roles where my wife and I read this. My wife cried. She turns to me. She goes, "Oh, my God, football, family, friendship, redemption, like comedy, drama, go and make this movie," you know. But then when I got it, she was like, "Oh, shoot, now you got to play football and break your neck."
Yeah. So do you think that this, or I guess the hope is that this has the staying power of a lot of those inspirational football movies like Rudy or The Blind Side, that they kind of become timeless?
Yeah, that's the hope, and you know, judging by audiences and critics' response to it, it is that. And I love being at the theater. You know, go and see this in the theater if you can, folks. Really go out and bring a big old group of friends and family. Have some dinner. Go to the theater. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. You're going to come home feeling your humanity intact. You know, it's one of those kind of pictures. When I was growing up, I loved movies like The Natural, the late, great Robert Redford, and, you know, Miracle, which with Mark Sciardi, our producer, actually produced Miracle, which is based on the old, 1980 Miracle on Ice hockey team. You know, so these are movies that I loved coming up, and I was always wanted to be involved in a movie like this. And to have the great Mary Stuart Masterson in the picture and Rob Corddry. And by the way, these kids, man, they threw themselves at this 100%. And they all played football growing up. So we were all in, you know what I mean? We felt like a team, you know? Even the camera operators, man, they were athletes. They were sprinting with us on the field. And, you know, if the football feels authentic in this, it's because it is. Like, the guys playing football played for, like, my stuntman, who only got to do a handful of shots, but I mean, he, thank God he did, because I would have been killed if I did those shots. He played for Alabama. You know, there are guys that played in this movie for Auburn and Ole Miss and, you know, Tennessee, and like, they're animals. A lot of Texas football players, kids that grew up in Fort Worth and the surrounding area that just live for football. So it's in there, you know?
So, like, hovering around your age, close to it, I can't imagine what, you know, you got to do this stuff if you're an actor. You got to go through training for whatever, you know, physical role that you have. But what was it like to wake up whatever day it was and be like, okay, I have to train to be a football player now? Was it really, really difficult?
Yeah, man, I was 59. You know? Dude, I was 59. I'm going to say that again. I was 59 when I made this movie, and that's how old Mike Flint was. And, yeah, I was an athlete growing up, but I had just come off of Red Auerbach in Winning Time, you know. So I was hard-drinking, cigar-huffing, you know, 70-year-old. You know, so I was out of shape, and I was like, oh, my God, now I have to do this. So I immediately started training. I don't care what anybody tells you. Food is 80-85% of it, maybe 90% of it. Because, you know, I'd always worked out even when I was out of shape, you know, because just maintain some semblance of endurance and shape. But, you know, to lose a ton of weight, you know, and then start to get into linebacker drills.
Ugh.
Linebacker drills. Like, it was 40 years ago. Like, you know, I had done it when I was a kid, so it was like kind of like getting on an old bike. But at the same time, man, you know, your brain is weird. Like, your brain still thinks you're 18, so you go at it, right? And then you wake up the next day, and you go, what have I done? You know, like, you're like going, like, my eyebrows hurt right now. What have I done? I'm, you know. And I got introduced to the cold plunge, and thank God for that, because I lived in it. It's really, really good. It sucks the first minute you're in there, but, you know, let me tell you what, it helps with the inflammation and being able to recover. Like, I wrote Tom Brady, I'm friends with Tom Brady, I wrote him, I texted him a message, I was like, TB, you're no longer the oldest guy in the field, please help me. And he wrote back, football's hard, good luck.
By the way, have you met Jordan Hudson?
No.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? What the hell? What do you make of the...
What do you mean football's hard, good luck? Nothing. You gave me nothing.
That's awesome, dude.
Hard, good luck.
That's awesome. All right, one more for you. What do you make of the year of Walton Goggins? Because that guy is just cleaning house with everything right now.
Isn't it great? Isn't it great? You know, talk about vindication. You know what I mean? I've been preaching the gospel of Goggins for many years, man. And, you know, I've always known the talent that Walt is. And by the way, you'll be happy to know I spoke to Walton yesterday. We talk three times a week. We've remained really tight.
Awesome.
Friends. I love that guy. You know, we went through an extraordinary 7 years together, and that's just a bonding experience that you never get over. And happily, he's stuck with me for life. We're just good friends, you know, and to see him flourish like this and, you know, to see him get some credit for it, you know, because he's always been sort of an unsung guy, you know, and to see him sort of, you know, just blowing up is part hilarious, part amazing. You know?
Indeed. Well, look, Michael, thank you so much. The Senior is out. Everybody go see it. And like we said, it's getting really, really good buzz. Congrats on everything and look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, man. We'll see you.
Bye.
The great Michael Chiklis. Just awesome. And we cut out the part that I teased going into it. But, yes, he remembered our big day on the golf course.
Well, we don't have proof. So
I know.
I think you're just making it up.
DJ cut it out. It got cut.
He didn't want your personal connection to Michael Chiklis to see the light of day.
No. He told the whole story. It would have just been repeating everything you just said anyway.
Well, no, it was a build-up to the crescendo. It was called a radio lead-in.
What are you trying to cover up, DJ?
Yeah, what's going on, DJ?
Pam told me to cut it out. That's
what
happened.
Hell yeah, America.
You're out of the next suite. That's it. It's over.
All right.